Amen. Well, let me just share a pretty brief message here that I wanted to share with you this morning. And, you know, we're right in the midst of what they call the holiday season and stores. I don't know about you, but you walk in and people are everywhere you turn on TV, buy now, buy this, buy more, buy that, and so on. You can't even walk in a grocery store for a gallon of milk without being bombarded by holiday sales and all sorts of trappings that are going on out there. And it's easy to feel like, what is actually the true meaning of the season? It's being hijacked, amen? It's being taken away from what the reality of what we're really celebrating this season. But here's the good news. As followers of Jesus, any believers here today? Amen. You don't got to play along with the way the world does it. We can combat the commercialization of this season by focusing on what truly matters, worshiping God, dedicating our lives to Him, and reflecting His light to this world. And I wanted to share today one of the ways we can do that, that it's really not shared in many churches. Obviously, Christmas is a huge thing. But I want to share today a little bit about how the celebration of Hanukkah really ties in to all this. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Hanukkah, isn't that a Jewish thing? A Jewish holiday? Well, let me tell you this. Several years ago when we were across the street, you know, when I was sharing when different seasons or feasts of the in Leviticus, the Jewish feast came up, you know, people started going, why are we doing this Jewish thing? What is that about? Can't we stick with this Roman Catholic thing? No, I'm just kidding. It's like, everything we do is a Jewish thing. If you think about it, Jesus was a Jew, Mary was a Jew, Joseph, all the disciples, everything they did was hijacked in 320 AD by Constantine and said, nothing more Jewish, it's all going to be Roman Catholic and all this. And now 1800 years later, we're recapturing the real roots of what all this is about. And we get to do it in a 100-year-old synagogue. I mean, are you kidding me? Nobody's doing that. And so we're blessed, you know, when it comes to that. So I had to finally go in front of my congregation and tell them I'm no longer going to apologize for who I am and what God made me to be. And, you know, some clapped, some walked out the door. It's like, oh, okay, well, we're crossing the Jordan and we're moving into that synagogue. And Jesus taught in synagogues. They didn't have churches back then. So we're going to talk about Him and share Him in a 100-year-old synagogue and have the full understanding of the Bible, just not the one part and the other part. We're both. So we became a dual congregation, unheard of in the Christian world. You look up dual expression and you won't find it. 99.9% of churches would not do a Shabbat service like we do. You're either one or the other. But God put on my heart, we need to do both. So we are doing both. Geared to Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, if you need a scriptural reference of breaking down the walls between the two groups, thus creating one new humanity and peace. So we're breaking down the walls between Messianic and Sunday and all that sort of thing, and Christmas and Hanukkah, and because they're all biblical. And I'm excited to do that. So today I want to take us on a journey through history, faith, and how God's hand is woven through all the events that have taken place in our history. You know, they seem to be, to most people, they're not really related, but they really are. As we dive in, you'll see how they all are connected, this season that we're in between Christmas and Hanukkah and so on, and And I shared that on Shabbat as well, why Christmas was so such an important event and so on. But the reason why I'm sharing this morning is because without Hanukkah, there would be no Christmas. Let me say that again. Maybe you didn't hear that. Without Hanukkah, that celebration that took place then, there would be no Christmas. Now, if you think about, maybe you're wondering, did I have too much pepperoni pizza at night? What is this guy talking about? Well, let me explain. We're going to look at the history and understanding of really what took place at Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights, and explore how that Jewish celebration prepared the way for the birth of Jesus, the light of the world. So let's, as we pray, let's open up our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would just tell us in these next few moments that will, I believe, will cause us to grow and understand God's heart in a deeper way. Father, I thank you for just a glorious day today, a beautiful day. The sun is shining and the S-O-N is shining in this place. And we're just so thankful to be in your presence, to worship you in spirit and truth with no compromise. But just our hearts, Lord, are totally geared to everything you want to even speak to us now. And I just pray you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us. And I pray that in Jesus' holy name. And if you agree, just say amen. Amen. Now, sadly, many Jews and Christians don't really understand the real story behind Hanukkah. However, after I got saved, I learned about the connection. I'm learning how it's all connected. And that's why I celebrate both and encourage others to do, because they are so connected to one another. Amen. See, the fact is, people don't know that. They don't know what one celebration has to do with another. And I didn't understand it myself for many years. Yet these two great celebrations are really joined at the hip in a profound way. And the link goes much further than just giving presents and lighting of candles and the times of family togetherness that people enjoy during these seasons. And to think we are alive and breathing during this time when both Hanukkah and Christmas are on the same day. They begin on the same day, December 25th. We get to really understand that in a deeper way, because knowing without Hanukkah, there would be no Christmas. Now, in order to understand that, let me just share a brief history about the story of Hanukkah. See, in the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were 400 years, they call it the intertestamental period. And you think, well, did God just go to sleep for 400 years? No, there were things that were going on. And sadly, between those the testaments, the children of Israel were under this iron rule of the Syrian king named Antiochus. And not only did this guy subject Jews to a life of suffering, but he was openly determined to destroy the utter very foundation of their Jewish identity. Yeah, he prevented them from ever using the temple. And he didn't stop there. He forced them to abandon all their traditions that went even back to Moses. He destroyed all the writings of the scribes. He erected idols over the temple, including in the Holy of Holies. Then on the ultimate act of desecration to Jews in God's temple, he sacrificed a pig on the altar. Now understand, we can really relate to that, because when we came into this temple, it was defiled. It was being destroyed. We had pictures of demons everywhere. It was a church of Satan, this place, when the Jewish community moved out in 1969. There were pictures of demons. There were words on the walls, only Satan can worship in this place, and so on. And so we know what it's like to take a defiled temple and restore it back to a place that worships the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The enemy cannot have this place. God had created it over 100 years ago to worship him, and that's what it's all about now. Now understand, you know, when you go back and see what was being destroyed and how everything of the Jewish tradition and they were either you bow down and worship their God or they would kill you. This was the true understanding of genocide, of anti-Semitism to the hilt that was going on back then. And they were totally defeated. They were demoralized. You would be too. And it was one of the times in history when the enemy came within a fraction of destroying the whole Jewish identity and Jewish culture. And what he was trying to destroy is any chance for the promised Messiah to be born into Judaism would have vanished if he had succeeded during that time. But God had other plans. In 168 BC, the height of the reign when this Antiochus was destroying everything, a man named Matthias, he was a Jewish priest, struck down one day one of Antiochus's commanders, and also in another, they struck down this apostate Jew who were actually offering heathen sacrifices on the altar in the temple. They leveled the altar and they escaped and they began guerrilla warfare. And in 3 years, his son led this his name was Judas. He led this guerrilla military and they defeated this Syrian army. His name was Judas and his nickname was Maccabee. Some of you know that, which means the hammer. God used the hammer to destroy this Syrian king, and he took it over, and they were able to come and defeat them and restore the temple and the city of Jerusalem as well. And they went ahead and they removed all the heathen stuff that was in the temple, and they cleansed the temple, and they rededicated it to God and to the worship of him alone. And I remember when we first came into this temple, we rededicated it to God as well after we've cleansed all the defilement that happened before us. So that temple back then was dedicated on the 25th day of the Jewish month of Kislev, which corresponds to our month of December. So understand what we're involved in here, and especially this time in history. Thank you. Well, that was an amen. I have a dog. He does that too. At least the dogs are amening these days, huh? Anyway, the name Hanukkah means dedication. It also means the festival of lights. And we got that common phrase, Ted, that we'll put up on the screen here. Basically, this is what the phrase that actually was connected with Hanukkah, Nes Gadoy Haya Sham, which means a great miracle happened here. This was a time of a miracle. And the great miracle, one of them, was that Judaism was saved from oblivion and that Jesus can now come through that line as prophesied and Christmas could occur. But the actual fact that there was two miracles that happened that link Hanukkah and Christmas together. And understanding them will really make us feel more fulfilled and more joyful, especially during this season. We can appreciate them more. First, there was the preservation, as I talked about, of a Jewish people. Had Antiochus been successful in destroying the Jewish people, Jews and Judaism would have gone the route of the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. You don't hear of them anymore. They're some historical people group, an archaeological history, but there would have been no Jews. That didn't happen. Here's one that I stand before you now, that because of him, I could be here even as well, and because of his defeat. See, there would not have been a chosen nation for Christ to be born into. So think about that. Whenever you're tempted to doubt God's saving power, remember Hanukkah and his loving power and how he empowered these Maccabees against all odds, yet they miraculously prevailed. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He delivers his people, both Jews and non-Gentile. He delivers us all. Now, the second miracle of Hanukkah is the miracle of lights. You see, when the Antichrist came in, he put out the light, the menorah in the temple that was always supposed to be lit, that it never goes out. But they came and they looked for oil when they took the temple back, and so that they could relight this menorah. And we see him, man. All right. Now him and I are close. He gets it right away, and he doesn't even have to sit through it all. He gets it. I love it. My man. So they knew that they, in order to have that menorah lit all the time, the eternal light, it was going to take 8 days for them to have enough oil to keep it going, to make new oil, but they only had enough for one amount of, one day of oil, one day of light. So they lit it anyway because they were so excited. And miraculously, the one day of oil burned for 8 days when they had enough time to redo and rededicate more oil. That's a miracle. God's light continually burned for 8 days. That's why with Hanukkah, we celebrate that menorah. Let's see if we can... We celebrate it for 8 days, and you can see that's the full celebration. On the eighth day, there are 9 branches. The top branch is called a shamas in Hebrew, which is the servant candle, which is really interesting because that's the candle used to light the other candles. All the other candles look to that candle for light, the servant candle, shamas. And we know who our servant candle is, right? We know who we look to light to bring into our life as well. So it's a brilliant glow on that eighth day and so on and so forth. So let me connect the dots now for you as to how we get into Christmas and Hanukkah being connected. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. It said, then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was wintertime, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. Think about that. Whoops. Hello. No worries. Think about that. Jesus walking in the feast of dedication. What? He was in Jerusalem celebrating Hanukkah. He walked in the temple, that same temple that the Maccabees cleansed. He reclaimed it, the very temple that was desecrated. And it was the place where Jesus declared himself to be the good shepherd and the light of the world. Thank you, sir. That's where he made himself known, in the temple. He is the good shepherd and the light of the world. And I believe he declares that to us today in this temple that has been rededicated to him, that he is the good shepherd and the light of this world. We need to know that.
Think about the symbolism of that. Hanukkah celebrates the miracle of light, that light has come into the world and will last. How God's provision kept the menorah burning in that temple. And then comes Jesus, born in some humble stable, when you think about it, came to be the light of this world for us. John 8:12, while he was there, he shared this as well. He said, when Jesus spoke again to the people, it said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't that amazing? Hanukkah foreshadows Christ. It reminds us that God's light cannot be extinguished. No matter how dark the world gets, God's light will continue. So look, Jesus, he represents that servant candle on Hanukkah that lights our way and sends his spirit to ignite us as well, so that we could be the light that shines in this world. When he calls us, you are the light of this world. We aren't meant to bring light into darkness, not hide from the darkness, but bring light into it. When you bring light into darkness and turn the switch on, darkness flees. It can't last anywhere. But we don't have enough of our own oil to live a life dedicated to Jesus. But he provided, just like he did back then. And the oil he provides for us is called the Holy Spirit. And it fills us and keeps us going no matter what's happening all around us. So the miracle of preservation of the Jewish people makes Christmas possible. And the miracle of the light reminds us of Jesus, whose coming the prophets talked about and predicted. In fact, in Isaiah 49:6, it says, a light, he becomes a light to the Gentiles whose salvation would reach the ends of the earth. He is our light. Finally, the common theme really between these two, Hanukkah and Christmas, is that God is with us. Emmanuel. See, a traditional Hanukkah hymn, I'm not going to sing it, but I'll share it with you. It declares to God that he is the rock of ages. It goes like this, rock of ages, let our song praise thy saving power. Thou amidst the raging foes, west our sheltering tower. Furious they assailed us, but thine arm availed us. And thy word broke their sword when our own strength failed us. He is the rock of ages. He was present with his people in a way back then that pulled the rug out right from under the enemy and from that evil Syrian king. See, when that guy Antiochus came in and defiled the temple, what he declared himself was Antiochus Epiphanes, which means God has manifested in me. He claimed to be God. But the Jewish nation understood that he wasn't God. They rejected it. They thought it was outrageous that he was a counterfeit. He counterfeited claim to deity, and they knew that. Because they knew God had promised them, not a counterfeit, but God had promised to be present with his people. Not only in that military victory, but in the flesh. What this guy Antiochus proclaimed, Jesus became the incarnate God in our midst. Amen. And was wrapped up in what the prophet called through Isaiah and predicted would happen as the Messiah would be known in Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give us a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So how incredible, when you think about it, that Jesus chose the festival of Hanukkah, of dedication, to stand in the temple, to stand in the portico of Solomon and declare this in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. He did that right in that temple and right during this feast we call Hanukkah. It's no coincidence that Jesus chose that time and place to reveal his deity. I don't think it was a coincidence at all. Then John tells us their response to it. The Jewish leaders, in John 10:31, it says, they took up stones again to stone him. They accused him of blasphemy. Because you, they said in John 10:33, says, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Now, let me give you an interesting aside that I just learned recently. Back in the original Hanukkah celebration, before the temple could be rededicated, they needed to build a new altar. They needed new stones, clean stones. And you thought, well, what about the old stones? Can they just wash the old stones that had been defiled by pigs and idols and all that? Couldn't they just wash the old stones? Well, I'm sure they were washed, but they could never be cleansed. They were very porous. They just held on to those things. So according to tradition, those stones, those old stones, were stored in the portico of Solomon where Jesus was. And they were stored there until, they said, until the time that the Messiah would come and explain what to do with them. So here we are, we have this tradition that these stones are here, they're all defiled and so on, and they're just waiting for the Messiah to come to decide what should we do with these defiled stones. And could it be that when the Jewish leaders were coming against Jesus, they looked around, it said they were in the portico of Solomon where those stones were, they looked around for stones to throw at Jesus, and they could have reached for those stones that were defiled from the old temple. And you think about what divine irony that would be, to hurl a symbol of a sacrificial system that was defiled at the one who was about to sacrifice himself for mankind. Can you imagine how God works all these things out? See, it's only because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, that he could come and sacrifice himself as an atonement for our sin. See, he was born to die. Some of us don't get, we're born to live. No, he was born to die and rise victoriously, born to light our way and make us the light of this world. He was born to be adored by both Jews and Gentiles, who will bow and worship him as the one who is our only hope. That is the hope of Hanukkah, and then he is the Christ of Christmas as well. These two holidays share this ultimate significance in the person of Jesus, who is the Rock of Ages. So let me just finish with this. Let me just give you a few real reasons to celebrate Hanukkah, even as a Christian. It reminds us that our faith didn't just start recently. We have deep roots. Think about it. Christians didn't just appear out of nowhere. They are a continuation of the story of God and his covenant with the Jewish people. We need to appreciate that the foundation of our faith and what God has done to incredible lengths to make sure that we are able to have a relationship with Him by preserving His people. And obviously, the first and foremost reason why we should celebrate is because without it, there'd be no Christmas. Without it, there'd be no birth. Without it, none of us would be, we'd all be in our sin. There'd be no Christians if there was no Christmas, and there would be no Christmas if there was no Hanukkah. And that defeat of that evil empire there. And it's a celebration also that points us to Jesus. Every night we light a menorah, we reflect on Him as the light of the world. The fulfillment of God's promises, we reflect on that as well. And it's also a time for spiritual renewing for us. In the same way that temple was rededicated, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've let some defilement into our lives over this past year, I'm sure, in what we've seen and what we said and things we've done. So we need to rededicate our lives to Him during this season as well. It's also an opportunity to focus on God's faithfulness. God, Hanukkah really tells us that God's provision is enough. He'll get us through it. He provides. Even when it feels like we don't have what we need, He will be there for us. His family, I heard of, was celebrating Hanukkah, and they shifted their focus from all the noise and the material stuff and the commercialism and all that. They shifted the focus to worship. Each night they would light the menorah and read scriptures about the light and dedication and spend time in prayer. They say it became the most meaningful time of the year for them. And they're not even Jewish. Another family shared a story. They faced incredible darkness. Guy lost his job, financial strain, uncertainty about their future. But they held on to one promise in John 1:5, the trusting God's light, that God's light shines brightest in our darkness. And as they learned about that and they leaned on their faith and they had community of people around them, they experienced God's provision in ways they never could have expected. Got a new job opportunity, unexpected financial help, renewed their hope in life and God. And it reminds us that God's light is always with us, even when we feel overwhelmed. We feel in our darkest time, but He is with us. Let's hear one more example of that. Ask our worship team to come on up here now. In Israel, a ministry that reaches out to Holocaust survivors, they celebrate Hanukkah with them by sharing the story of God's provision and His light. And many of those survivors have come to know Jesus as their Messiah through the hope that's shared by these people and the gathering that they have. The connection between the menorah and the light it sheds and Jesus as the light of the world is opening up hearts all over the world to the gospel, to the hope that we have with the gospel. So what do we do? What's some practical things we could do during this time? Well, for one, if you have a menorah, you can light it. Reflect on the light of the world. John 1:4-5, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, just a little commercial here that we do have Hanukkahs from, I believe, from Israel that you could purchase back there. They're not expensive. And we also have instructions how to light them for those 8 nights and where to put them in your window and so on and so forth. And you'd have to go to this holy place to get the candles, King Supers. They sell them there. But I encourage you, if you'd like to do that, it would just really help you understand more. And again, we need to also rededicate our lives. Spend time in prayer, asking God to guide our steps. Romans 12:2 encourages us and says, don't conform to the way the world is celebrating this decision, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to celebrate the season the way we as believers should celebrate it. And instead of focusing on gifts or everything, that's all we focus on, find ways to bless others. You know, Matthew 25:40 reminds us, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Yeah, serve someone else, help someone else, get something for someone else as well. We've done that with Angel Tree. It went really well, and what a blessing it was for how many people did we get to bless? 55 families you blessed during this time. So thank you, to God be the glory. So we just need to keep it simple. It isn't about extravagance. It's about worship. It's about reflection during this season. Take time to slow down and focus on what really matters. So let me challenge you with this. This season, don't let commercialism steal the joy of what this season is all about. Think about it. Without God's faithfulness to his people, there'd be no manger, no shepherds, no Savior. But because he is faithful, we have the light of the world to celebrate Jesus Christ. So when you see Christmas lights in this season, think of that menorah as well. Think of God who provided the oil, who sent his Son to shine light in our lives, in our communities, and throughout the world. So let's all stand, if we would. I want to just pray, and then we're going to finish with this song about who truly the light is. Lord, I thank you for this history, your story, this incredible story of your faithfulness. Thank you for preserving your people, for sending your Son, and for inviting us to be part of your story. Help us, Lord, to carry your light into this world. Help us to shine brightly to others, that they would truly know who you are, Lord, in our lives. And I pray that in Jesus' holy name. Lord, we thank you that you are the light of the world. And you came into our lives that were dark. And your marvelous light has lit us up, Lord. Let us truly celebrate you as the light of this world, Lord, and let our light so shine that people would know who we truly belong to. They might try and make us belong to someone else, but we know who we belong to.
Yes.
We are all in with you, Lord, and especially this season, let it be a joyful one because you have come into our lives. And the light of this world would want to pronounce blessing upon us, even during this season. That just as Jesus came into the world because of what took place on Hanukkah, made that possible as well. And he celebrated that by being there. May we understand truly how you've brought these things together in our lives, even this incredible time of this month where both land on the same day, that we can celebrate you in everything you are and everything you've overcome in our lives. And with those words, he would bless us with his words from heaven above, that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that the Lord would lift up his countenance, turn his face toward with you and thus give you his peace as he blesses his sons and his daughters even today. Pronounce blessing on every single person in this room. Lord God, favor, blessing, encouragement, light, joy, purpose for their lives. Lord, let them receive that as the greatest gift. We've already gotten the greatest gift we could ever receive. Anything else is gravy. But receive that gift
and honor that gift in your life. And in the Hebrews, out of Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, Yivarechecha Adonai v'lishmalecha Ya'er Adonai panav alecha vihunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yasam lecha shalom. Let this be a season of peace and of joy because of who you are in our lives, Lord. And I just pray those things in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord. And if you agree, just shout amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory.